Father, in Jesus' name, we come into the courts of the Lord with praise and rejoicing. Thankfulness, God. Oh, hallelujah. You've gathered the elect of God today. Oh, in Jesus' name, the mercy and the grace that has flown. God, it's just continuing to flow upon us, Jesus. Now, Lord, as we go forth this morning, may we just look to you, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our ears to hear, Lord God. And Jesus, just bring this to us in such truth and grace and in the love and the mercy that only you can do and only you can perform. But Lord, we know that you desire it more than we could ever want it, because you are that faithful Lamb, the beautiful Lamb, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And Lord, we will thank you and praise you for that love for all eternity. And thank you again today. You've given us the grace to praise you, to come to hear your word. And may it be by your Spirit, the power of your might, that love would be shed abroad in our hearts this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God, praise God. We're going to Matthew chapter 21 today. And I thank the Lord. He often brings my heart back to this and again to come and just be refreshed in such glorious depth of the love of Christ, the glorious depth of even the hidden things in the Word of God. That's what's so beautiful. I thank the Lord. The Word tells us that the prophets, they wrote these things for us. They wanted to look into the meanings of these things, but the Word of God had not yet been revealed in that power of the Holy Ghost that ones could see with enlightened eyes of understanding the depth of the meanings that were in these things that they were writing. Oh, yes. Many times in Paul's epistles, he refers to that, how they wanted to look into those things. The angels wanted to see those things, but it wasn't for them in those times, but they wrote those things for us. You talk about a love story. It is amazing. But let's go ahead and read from chapter 21, verse 1. And it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples." So there was something to be witnessed here, because we have the number two. That's sufficient witness. So when that comes at us, there's something, everything in the Word of God, but there's an emphasis here. There's a witnessing going on. "Now he said to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied," or a donkey, "and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord hath a need of them. There's a need here. "And straightway he will send them." That's another wonderful encouragement there. "And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." So basically what you had here were two animals. Jesus was sitting on the one, and he has this other tied back on that first one behind him as he's leading that little colt behind him as he's going to enter into Jerusalem here. "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt and put them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now what we have here is one of the most beautiful hidden meanings, glorious pictures, if you will, in the Bible. And what I'm speaking of here was hidden. And it was hidden from all of the spectators at that time. They did not understand what was going on here. They didn't understand this scene of why Jesus was coming in. Yes, there was the prophet that spoke of these things, but there was a more depth in what was going on. And it was hidden. And it's hidden even from most today. And that is the truth. Jesus specifically with that little colt behind him as he rode in that day. In all of this misguided euphoria, and it was misguided, we know this. These ones were, again, hoping that their king was coming to free them from the Romans. This was the Jews' Messiah, their Savior. And they were not looking to the Lamb of God. They were looking to their circumstances opposed to the cross that he would come to bear. Now, Jesus was signifying here what he came to accomplish. As we spoke of earlier, it was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. And it was the joy that was set before him. What Jesus was coming to do was to have his wondrous bride. Brothers and sisters, what we have here in this picture, without any doubt, this is the custom of what would occur when a man would take a wife. This was done oftentimes in all the Middle East, especially in Israel, where the husband would lead his wife behind him into their wedding ceremony or to the wedding feast. Now, this was the custom. We have the groom seated upon this donkey, taking his wife behind him and bringing her specifically into his home. Isn't that beautiful? That was the whole custom of it, is that he was getting her and leading her into his home. This custom, as I was reading and studying up a little bit further on this, the Russian Jews even did this continually in the 20th century. And here was even a specific encouragement that even got more depth and meaning to it. The wife would be led at night on that colt. At night. Now, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you something here. This custom, my goodness, this testimony has got to be pretty clear, I would say, because the Word of God says that he's coming as a thief in the night. I think there's a lot of folks that remember that portion of Scripture, amen? And the Word of God tells us that we're not of the night. We're children of the day. And the Word of God tells us not to be asleep in the night or drunken in the night. So even though we're children of the day, there's still this encouragement to us to not slumber, to be expecting and looking and alive and ready for this. And so, brothers and sisters, I am encouraged today to say this. The King is not coming to save me. The King is coming to marry me. Amen. Amen. And that's what's so wonderful of all of the Gospels, the four Gospels that are written. This is the only one, Matthew's the only one that speaks of that little colt. All the others don't have that reference. It's only Matthew. But Matthew depicts Jesus as the King, as the Lion. And why wouldn't that just be the most perfect fitting thing that there is? We're talking about this ruling and reigning, and we know from knowing the Word of God that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he will never yet take that throne until he is complete with the one that will rule and reign jointly together with him. And that would truly be his queen. So how fitting it is that this precious colt seen behind him without a rider, there was no one riding on that colt. But I'll tell you what he was going to do that day was to finish it to get her. Oh, yes. Let me tell you, Jesus knows. And he's going right to get that one that would reign with him and ride with him. Now, I want you to think of this, the beauty of creation. When the Lord created heaven and earth, and he created the animals and all the things, he creates man. But he culminates with his last creation, the glory of man, Eve. Eve, the last thing, the wife for Adam. Now here we are, and we're coming to the finality of this age. And Jesus, praise God, is going to have his glory. Amen. And that will be, praise the Lord, the wife for the Lamb of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, this glory of this wife and this wife that he is proposing to us is found throughout the Word of God, and we know this. It's woven, praise the Lord, through all of this Word from the very beginning. We just spoke on it, this wife for Adam. It had to be taken out of him, didn't it? If you know that story, there had to be a sleep that came upon Adam. And that wife for him, the Lord wasn't going to pick up more dust and form and breathe into. He was going to take that wife right out of the body. And just like the wife right now is being taken out of the body of Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And notice, again with Adam, he was asleep to it, wasn't he? See, God had a sleep to fall upon him to prepare and to take out that wife. Praise God. That's the same thing that this encouragement to us. This colt is going to come out with her at night. This colt, praise God, is going to have her, praise the Lord, riding out with him when the masses of all of this, they're asleep to it. They're not awake. They're not alive. Why would the Lord come to us after he has that glorious encouragement in 1 Thessalonians 4? Oh, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. The very next chapter is the one that comes at us and says, now listen, honeys, don't be asleep. Don't be drunken to this. We need to be awake. We're not prepared for wrath. That speaks of going into the tribulation. And yes, praise be to God, if you have a sermon without a Bible study, you missed it. How could there not be? Brothers and sisters, the Lord doesn't want us to take one step into that tribulation time. He's offered us everything. Praise God. It's all right there. To have that ear to hear and a heart that leaps, that isn't asleep to this. And not, oh, I've heard this a long time and I know this. Well, you're not ready. I've heard this a long time and I'm thankful. And I know this and I'm joyous. And I'm still hearing this. This is the grace and mercy of God. It's got my heart prepared to meet my bridegroom. That's the joy. And it's not anything to be worked up. But if you'll feast upon that truth in love, let me tell you something. You can't help it. You can't be anything but thankful. You can't be anything but joyous. And thank the Lord for bone of his bone. Here it is. And flesh of his flesh. And here it is. And you're thankful because you understand that from his head, the supplying that comes through the joints of the body. Why did Paul, as he sat in that prison, he said, oh, bring me your, as he said, you bring me the parchment, you bring me those things. But what he wanted as well, too, is he wanted that fellowship. Timothy, come. Come on, honey. Bring any others that have come and fellowship with me. Not to break me out of here. I'm already out of here. I'm already out of here. You already out of here? But till we're really out of here, this is the proof of that love. I pray we grow in it. Now, brothers and sisters, that glory that's woven throughout this word, whether again it was that wife for Adam, or whether it's the bride for Isaac, or the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, the virtuous woman in Proverbs. We could go to Ruth and Esther and Bathsheba and Rahab and on and on and on. It all points to one thing. the wife for the Lamb of God. Everything about this word is one giant, glorious love story. And it is written in red. That was that love that they sang of. This love, praise God, it didn't end at the cross. It began at the cross. He finished it, yes, but he finished, praise God, always to give us more. Just think about that. Finished to give us more. He calls us home to glory. That's praise God. It's just beginning. You're going to get a glorified body like unto his own. Are you looking forward to that? And then you think about the grace that he's met us with. Then it's going to be the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us who believe for all eternity to come. So he wraps this up and then boom, he gives us more. But that's the God that always increases at an increasing rate. It's just he's the same yesterday and today and forever, but it's more and more and more with us. That's the fruitfulness of God working in our lives. And here in our text today, this Jesus, I'll tell you what, he was going to complete the way for her. Nothing was going to stop our Lord. He was bringing in that colt. I could just hear the beating of his heart. I'm going to get my wife. I'm going to bring her home. Hallelujah. Oh, what was finished on that cross? What was finished? Everything. Everything was finished there. And why? His death and his resurrection. He finished it, but he had to rise again. And the word of God speaks of the power in the resurrection. We know it was the very power of God, the power of his might that raised up Jesus. Now, didn't just raise him up, took him up. Amen. And I want you to think about this power, this resurrection power, that resurrection. It was the only way that Christ Jesus could go to send the Holy Ghost to us. Oh, yes. The Holy Ghost is the only one that could minister this proposal of the wife for the Lamb of God to our hearts. That's it. Jesus Christ specifically told his disciples, I must go, because if I don't go, I cannot send him the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who will lead you into all truth. You'll never understand that. You'll never have this ministering of this proposal. And then you go right back to the bride for Isaac. It was only one that could go out and find that wife for Abraham's son Isaac. Only one. It had to be the servant of the master. The Holy Ghost does one thing. He takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. That's all. That's everything that he does. And that's everything. All that power, all that love, all that mercy, all that grace. And he just continues to open it up. And the Holy Ghost only speaks of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that. He's only going to speak of me. That's it. So it was the Holy Ghost, just like that servant for Abraham. There was no one else that knew that message. There was no one else that knew the heart of the Father that the Son would have a wife. Sends that servant back to the people, back to the body of Christ to minister to the one that would hear. Amen. And so now we have the Holy Ghost here. And the Father, his Son's going to have a wife. And will we be as that Rebecca at that well? Praise God, we're here. This is the message that the Holy Ghost speaks. You understand that? You can take it whatever you want. You're at the well this morning. Oh, yes, you are. You're hearing this. We've heard so many times, what will you do with it? The way that this is lined up in the Word of God, there's no way you could refute it. No way. You have to reject it. I don't want to reject it. I don't want you to reject it. His heart's so full for me. I want my heart so full for him. It's a mark for the prize. The Lamb of God. marry me? Will you go? As simple as that. Will you go? I'm going. Thinking about those trips, you always got to pack, you got to get ready and all that. Not this one, because you couldn't do anything. He's got to do it all. You just show up. He does all the trimmings. He does all the work. All that grace and all that mercy and all that love. And it never stops, does it? It just doesn't. But oh my, that day of Pentecost, brothers and sisters, oh hallelujah, when Christ Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, to make that way in this church age, praise God, was going to come out the glory for the Lamb. I'm thankful the Lord ministered to my heart from once. Son, you need to be filled. It was never pressured. It was never forced. It's a free, it's a gift. And I thank the Lord I wanted it. He gave me the grace. He gave me the grace to tarry to receive it. Sometimes the Lord will give something very quickly. Sometimes the Lord might wait. Are you willing to wait on God? Do you have to get it on your timing, or will you believe Him and continue to seek Him and not to be discouraged, but to know that He that is promised, He'll perform it. But you have to believe. It says that the word of God works effectually in them that believe. And I'll tell you what, with what He endured for me, if He wants to take His time for me to believe something, I'll be still. Because I thought I believed a lot of things. Every day I wake up and I said, oh Lord, thank You for being patient with me. Thank You for showing me this in so much more grandeur and thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Jesus rode in that day, didn't He? Oh, yes, He did. He might have been coming in like, you know, very meek and lowly, and it was a lowly thing. But, man, I see my crusader on a steed. How'd you see him, huh? All were looking for a king to save him from them Romans, the masses of people, they missed it. But, you know, there were a few that day that they knew that the Savior was going to die on that cross. Mary, John, they knew that He was the Christ. They weren't wondering. They knew Him. But not yet one knew yet what that colt was for. Not the depth of it. No, no, no. And the reason was because the Holy Ghost wasn't sent yet. You can't see those things without that. You have to have it. Now, do you see when the word says the prophets wrote those things for us? They surely did. The Bible is so outstanding in its love. It just is. I mean, we need encouragement. You know that. But you're only going to be encouraged in the truth. And I want to continue to hear this word and feast upon this word. Because I'll tell you what, maybe I'm weaker than you, but I need to be encouraged all the time. I can encourage myself in one thing, in the Lord. I can't go out there and say, wow, I'm feeling really good and I'm such a good Christian and I'm walking with God and yet neglect the Word of God. How am I going to grow? God's only pleased with one thing, is faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I want this tank full. I want a cup that's full and running over. Oh, thank You, Lord. It's amazing what I don't think about and what doesn't bother me anymore. And it's still there. It's still here. But I'm glorying in that new man, hallelujah, that lives in me. He's beginning to really reign in joy and thanksgiving. This ain't ever going to change. This will never change. But the inner man sure can. That's what he's after. That's why the Lord doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. He looks on that heart. I pray you'll look on my heart. I pray that by grace of God, I'll always look at your heart. We'll disappoint each other if we don't. It's true. But we'll have a glory and disappointment that you could never have, even with successes. Do you understand that? Do you think it was a joy for Jesus? Really, I'm telling you. To know the whole path of Peter's life, to know that Peter would finally write at the very end. I'm telling you, I'm listening to this. I'm listening, Lord. At the very end, Peter says there, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But for Peter to ever get to that point that he could minister that and receive that, do you think it was a joy for Jesus to look at Peter and say, as Peter told him, oh, Lord, these guys might leave you, but I ain't. Jesus said, oh, Peter, Simon, devil's going to sift you like wheat, son. He's going to sift you. Now, I know he was serious with him, absolutely, but there had to be a big smile across Jesus' heart. But I'm not fretting, Peter, because I've prayed for you. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? Oh, it's marvelous. Jesus prays for us. He's prayed for us. Now, here we go. They did not know. They didn't have the depths revealed to them of the Holy Ghost. And here we are today, the masses of people, and I'm talking about the masses of Christians, they're blind to this yet today. The event that brought Jesus to the cross was all for one event, and that's the event to come. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It's coming, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jesus is going to have his readied wife. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to be one of those that are oblivious to this. I do not want to be one of them palm wavers as a servant. I love them, but I don't want to be in that company. But there always are a few that are going to believe. You know that? I love that. There's always that little precious few. Caleb and Joshua, just two of the millions that came out of Egypt that believed that Canaan was really theirs. The same truth was ministered to them. Really, know this. Understand how God deals with his people. It's there. But by the grace of God, will it be you, will it be us that says, Lord, I really do believe you. I'm not just thinking, well, you could do it or whatever. No, this is for me. This isn't just something that you set out there and say, oh, this is great, you know, we're going to heaven. No, no, no. There's purpose in this. This is your inheritance. I mean, my inheritance from God. And there were only two of those millions. You think about Noah. God told him something so impossible. Son, I'm going to flood this earth. I'm going to have it rain. What's rain? It never rained. The way the earth was watered, it came up from the ground. I'm going to flood it. And I want you building an ark that's going to be so giant, they're going to talk of it yet today. I'm going to bring the animals. I'm going to bring them in here. Oh, yes, he did. Decades and decades, 70, 80 years, he built that ark. Built it out there. Called him a fool, a knucklehead, all those things. But there were a few that believed God. They didn't have to see it. They didn't even have to ever see it performed or what. They never even saw it rain. And yet they believed God. God said this. Do you believe that God has said, have you read Romans 8? where it said that, you know what, as children of God, we're heirs of the Father. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we might be also glorified together with him. Now, I haven't seen that with my eyes, but I've seen it with my heart. And just like Noah, he saw that. He saw that God's word is true. And there were seven with him. Millions perished in that flood. They drowned. But eight didn't. They didn't. Then you think about, here we go, the birth of our Lord. We've talked about it many times. You get into that story, how many centuries went by, thousands of years, about the birth of the Savior. The Bible speaks of less than 10 that were looking for that birth. Oh, it's going to happen, but I ain't looking for it. How could you not look for the birth of your Savior? How could you not look for the coming of the Lord? What in this word is not true? I thank God I can be encouraged about those things that were in the past, but praise be to God, my promise is now for the future. And my faith, praise God, is going to be made sight, but the only way I'm looking at that is in that word. So here we are at resurrection time. Oh, yes. How many ran to the tomb to think and to see that Jesus had risen? Just a handful. Just a handful. As a matter of fact, it was only really one and had to kind of encourage the others, get down there. Don't think too much of you. You encouraged me to get down there, thank you. Lord's encouraged me today to tell you, get down there. Jesus is going to have a wife. That little colt on the back of him coming in that day, there's no other explanation for that. That's it. That's the custom. That was it. You hear because you believe the word of God today? I pray. Why would not we believe this? Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. It's that handful. The Father is waiting because that handful, till we all come's got a little bit more. And I don't know if you're delaying the thing, it might just be me. But if it just for one, we're going to wait. Do we love one another that much? We pray. I want to see you win. I want you to see me receive my crown. I want you to be happy for me for eternity. I do. I want to be there with you all. And I just ask the Lord, really this morning, is this the little handful, Lord God? Are we listening? Are we believing? That he's brought that little colt in for me. In for me. That I'm ready. That I'm looking. That I'm loving him. That he's coming for me. Amen. And am I ready? Yes. Everybody's sleeping in the night. But I'm ready. I see him bringing in that colt for me. I'm glory bound for him. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I want to see him. I want to see him. Thank you.
one ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm coming back. When I come back, it's not gonna be on an ass. It's gonna be on a scalp.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Lord, thank you for the stirring in our hearts today. Lord, you're causing us to groan, and we need to be right there. Lord, you've witnessed to us, Lord, in a depth and in a fire this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your passion, Lord God, it can even be felt. Lord, thank you for your presence here today. Lord, this glory that you've come for, Lord, your blood shed freely for it. Lord, you've given everything for us to have it. Father, as you said, as I've freely given him, how could I not freely also give you all things? And we've got it all. We've got it all. Lord, let us live like we got it all. Let us believe like we got it all. Let us love like we got it all. Let us glory like we got it all. Thank you. Jesus, we just say thank you. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And thank you that we're growing up knowing the great love of Christ for us. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus.